thank you for coming out. This is our first formal public transportation meeting through our, it's a special meeting of Public Works. So we'll call the meeting to order at 7:06, and if you would all please stand for the pledge to the flag. Would you like to lead us, Greg? No? Okay. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So introductions, this is the Public Works Transportation and Capital Projects Committee. What we're doing, instead of our usual monthly agenda, we are going to be traveling throughout Ulster County to collect input on upgrading and expanding and improving our public transportation system. For me personally, I would like to see interconnectivity, so that would include intermodal, whether we get ships coming up our blue highways, mm-hmm. or you know, trails and walking on our green highways. And I will pass this along to Legislator Phil Erner. I'd like to introduce yourself, and then we'll pass it down this way.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. I'm really glad to be here in Saugerties. As Laura said, I'm Phil, and I represent part of the city of Kingston. And this is my first and going to be my only term in the legislature. And I've been involved in transportation advocacy for about the past 4 years in Ulster County when the city bus merged into the county bus system. And so I'm excited to hear from you all this evening about your priorities here in Saugerties. Thank you, and I'm going to pass it back the other way.
Yes. This will go to Deputy Chair Dean Fabiano.
My name is Dean Fabiano, and I've been a member of the legislature now for this coming December will be 18 complete years. I chose not to run again for re-election in November. I think about time I give somebody else a chance. And I am the vice chairman of this committee, and I'm looking forward to helping the transportation with UCAT get more involved in the community and do more of a service, because there are a lot of people in Ulster County who need this service desperately, and we got to try to push it through and make things a lot better from what they have been. Thank you.
I'll pass it down to Aaron. We'll introduce the other electeds, and then we'll get to Amanda.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm Aaron Levine, I'm the county legislator for District 1 here in the town of Saugerties, representing the western part of town, Blue Mountain, West Saugerties area. Currently, we do not have any UCAT service in District 1. It's been about 10 years since we had UCAT service in our part of the community. Used to be going down Route 212 into Woodstock. I would like to see us look into potentially reinstating that service, or at the very least, hearing from the constituents here in Saugerties, whether you're in my district or not, about if you think we should be looking to expand service into other parts of our community as well. So I would like to see some type of survey done, either something on the county website or something getting mailed out to constituents to see if they feel that there should be more options for services from UCAT. So happy to be here tonight and to listen to members of the community and what they feel is important for public transportation in our county and in our community, especially here in Saugerties. So thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Joe Maloney, District 2, Saugerties. I think this, I like Aaron, not on this committee, but I think this is a great idea. More committees should do it. It's a bummer that the three legislators that are actually coming up with this are all leaving, but it's something that I think we need to continue in a lot of different ways, with meetings going around to different towns and town halls and doing meetings right there and getting feedback on specific things that the county provides, like transportation. I've heard a lot. I just got a text because I put it on my Facebook that this was going, and I got a text from somebody that lives on West Saugerties Road, and I think that's something that we have to think about, even if it's not every day, but where some people rely on UCAT for doctor's appointments, you know, shopping, and they don't. We may not have to provide it every day to some of these rural areas, but I think there's a solution in there where they can plan it out. I've talked to a couple of the individuals that are here that will share some stories where I think we can make it better. Everybody I've talked to over the past month or two has been saying positive things about how good things have gotten compared to where they were over the past month or two.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. And I think going into the future, if we can continue to do these things, advertising even better, putting out a press release, it'd be great to have 60, 70 people in these senior centers all around the county on all these different topics, and that's how you learn.
That's
I talk
crazy.
To the rank and file constantly. I learn more from the carpenters and the plow drivers and the caseworkers at DSS than I do from the department heads a lot of time. So hearing from the people that are using UCAT is going to help us just be better.
Okay, Kathy, we're going to, as soon as you get settled
in,
you'll have you
introduce
yourself. Sure.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kathy Nolan. I'm a legislator. I represent District 22. That's the western four towns of Ulster County, Olive, Shandaken, Denning, and Hardenburg. And I'm a member of the Transportation Committee.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to do just a brief summary. You know, we started out, in especially in Phil's first term here, with some issues that needed to be addressed with transportation. I mean, a lot of it was COVID-related. Transportation had pretty much stopped. Some of the routes were changed. It's gone through a transition with personnel and staffing. We do have Paula. What is your title, Paula?
Public Transit Coordinator.
Public Transit Coordinator from UCAT. So if we have any questions, we can send them her way. But what we're looking for is input, what you feel your needs are, where the county's lacking, what more we can do to expand, improve. And again, this could also include bicycle trails, walking paths, rail. Not that I think we'll get a passenger train up here anytime soon, but and I would like to pass this along to Amanda Laval, who is our deputy county executive, and she is our liaison to that executive's office. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for coming out and joining the forum tonight. As Legislator Petit said, my name is Amanda Laval. I am the deputy county executive that oversees UCAT along with several other departments, including planning, which is important to note because the county also has a transportation council as part of our planning department. And we are getting ready to release a request for proposals, so we're looking to interview and hire a consultant that will help us do a plan to make our it's a transit route optimization study, which will also, the goal is to have a robust public engagement and outreach component of the plan, and to create a more effective transit system, one that really is meeting the needs of the riders and doing so in a way that's effective. That plan will reach out to the public in a number of ways, including stakeholder meetings, focus groups, one-on-one interviews, community presentations, and presentations to elected officials, talking to employers, looking at different programs that the county has and what the needs might be related to transportation there. So, Paul and I will be taking notes to inform both the study and also what current operations at UCAT, but we look forward to hearing more from folks, and this being the start of some great public input to really make UCAT more effective as a transit system. So, thank you.
Do you want to pass that to, I'll pass it to Joe.
So, I'll take the, we have bits of people write public comment list, I can go in order.
Joe, but just make sure that's on.
You?
Yeah.
Brittany.
Oh, so I just thought that was me.
If you end up wanting to say something, raise your hand, I'll bring it over.
I was just signing.
We have
should we just pass the mic around?
Yeah,
and then
there's few enough of us.
Greg, if we'll first pass it to Frank, and then we'll pass it down this way in the room there. But
yeah, perfect.
My bad.
It's more or less we're looking to hear about paratransit, UCAT.
Yeah.
You know,
trails, connectivity, getting you to your job in the city, or getting somebody to their doctor's appointment.
Hello, everybody.
He doesn't even drive.
I like to talk to people, get to know people. I care about people and always want the best for them. I stopped by a senior's housing in Kingston on Royal Street. And one person said that transportation used to be 6 days a week, now it's only one day, Saturday. She just got a job at Benedictine, I think she said. And these people are up there in age, and they said that they're to the point where they'd rather pay the 75 cents for the bus to come every day than to try to find out where it's free. So I'm here to speak on their behalf, and I hope we can help those guys out.
Hi, I'm Frank Nazara from Ulster County, going on 60 years. My father drove bus and taxi and other public transportation that I grew up with. And prior to that, my six generations in my family came up on the railroad from Rockville Center, Long Island, and from the Bronx via Europe. Been using public transportation ever since. I'm a big supporter. I take the bus and I walk. Carpooling is even not good enough for me, so pretty much public transportation or walking is what I'm relegated to. And I've been to every stop in Ulster County over the last 30 plus years on the bus from Pine Hill, Pine Mount, all the way to Elmville, Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, Kingston, Saugerties, Woodstock, and I rode the bus to Woodstock when it went up 212. And now it takes four buses to get to Woodstock, right? To Kingston, to Woodstock, back to Kingston, back to Saugerties. So it's an 8-hour day, not counting, standing, walking, and sitting, waiting for buses in between the lunch and dinner break. So it's a 12-hour day to go to Woodstock. And if you miss a bus, now you're screwed because it's a $50 one-way cab ride from anywhere in Ulster County to anywhere in Ulster County. 10, 11 years ago when the bus was running to Woodstock from Saugerties, I found myself on a one-way cab ride. Then it was $35, not counting the tip. And depending on where I was going, I would have to make that trip repeatedly, which of course could bankrupt you. And I felt bad for the taxi drivers because my tips were small. I noticed nobody rode the bus for a long time because nobody had $1.50 or 75 cents, so the buses were largely empty. And the people would have to decide whether they were eating or riding the bus. So the buses would drive by 10 deep and I would walk to the store to buy one item with the money that I otherwise would have spent on the bus fare. I spent days, nights sitting at IBM Kingston, waiting by the old Bank of America, freezing to death in the dark, with no communication, no restroom. I had a 90-year-old and her 70-year-old daughter dumped off by an old UCAT bus about 10 years ago, at the just when Social Security moved to Poughkeepsie. Nobody told the 90-year-old or her 70-year-old daughter that they had moved to Poughkeepsie, so they sat there for 5 hours in the snow waiting for a bus out of there. I went to Academy Green. It was 11 degrees below zero. I waited for hours. By the time the bus got there, I couldn't put my hand in my pocket to get the change. The horror stories go on, but since the new administration, smart enough to install Tony, we have improved a lot in a short time. Buses are full. Some of them are so full that they scare me, because that means we need more than one bus on certain routes at certain times, or have to make people wait like I've been made to wait. People with bikes can't put the bike on the bike rack because there are already two bikes on the bike rack, and they can't put it inside because they're blocking the exits. They have strollers, they have wheelchairs, they have carts, groceries, you name it. So we can talk until I'm blue in the face, but I'm going to pass the baton. But anytime you have questions, again, over 30 years riding the bus, and probably Ulster County's largest supporter of public transportation.
Thank you. Cheryl, or did you want to speak as well?
Sure. Hi. My name is Andrea Norlander. I'm a five-year resident of Ulster County, living primarily in Woodstock and most recently for the past few years in District 2 and District 3. What I want to emphasize is I was gone for 6 months. I came back in October. The buses were free. Terrific. But that's kind of where it ended. And what I want to say is I don't want to hijack this meeting with negativity, but what I'd like to do is, you know, I would like to offer my services for any consulting, any pro bono. I would like to see a bus service that works for everyone, just like equal opportunity employment, because, you know, we could talk about a lot of different things, but your schedule, I've been led to believe I am the only person in the county who can't read it. But that's not true. That's gaslighting me. It is absolute insanity. And I see that now that you have them, because I had been creating them since I moved here 4 years ago, with different stops for people in my building, elderly people, and that's not my job. I call whenever I need to get on the bus, because I don't even know where this Grant Avenue is. And most of the time, neither does the person picking up the phone.
Yes.
Secondly, you know, I'd like to talk about the drivers. When I got back in October, I was fearful to get back on a bus because lack of communication skills, interpersonal skills. I don't want to get yelled at for getting on a bus. And, you know, I had dealt with the former supervisor who's no longer with you. And since he left, it seems like there's been a lot of positive changes. And, you know, I speak to Alan, I speak to Paula, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have an app, but, and that is very progressive. However, 90% of your ridership does not have the luxury, like I do, of having four devices. Mm-hmm. And at any given moment, I can figure out what the hell's going on, where it is. However, it doesn't work. And again, going back to your schedule, it really should spell out spots that are key to people, such as Walgreens, Simmons Plaza. And, you know, and that's personal to me, but there are other ones, too. And people, you know, some of the bus drivers are more than willing to walk you through it. The other thing I wanted to talk about is Saturdays. There's no service. So you can go to the farmer's market, but at this gentleman, you're Frank, correct?
Yeah, you can't get back.
And I've seen you on the bus. You can't get back home. So I ride my bike up there, but now I happen to live further out, so I can't do that ride with a bunch of vegetables tipping my bicycle over. Your kiosks are either ineffective or non-existent. I'm at the Birches at Saugerties for the moment. The kiosk is inside the parking lot. However, the bus doesn't go in there. So I think it is unusual to ask someone whose lifeline into the village or wherever they're going to stand on the highway. Okay, there are big trucks, and it's scary. So let's take this existing kiosk and either get that bus in there or move it out, just like Summit on the Hudson and the other buildings, you know, that are complexes that are more, you know, developed have. But those people don't need the bus. When I get let off on the bus, I have to cross the highway, and I'm telling you, I do the Hail Mary like 50 times, and please, dear God, let me get across this highway. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But if people knew it was a bus stop and put a slow sign or something. The other thing I wanted to mention is paratransit. Absolutely frightening to me. I had so many bad experiences when I got back here that I stopped using them. I don't want to get yelled at. I don't want a bus driver to tell me. I was like, I'm trying to lock my door. I had a problem with my hand. This person left because they said they only had to wait 5 minutes. And I was literally 5 or 10 feet away from them. That to me is, it's not right. So I talked to bike trails would be great as a bicycle rider, because they also serve as places to walk as well. But again, you know, I just want to emphasize your schedule should be more user-friendly. Your drivers are absolutely, on my route, magnificent at this point. I want to thank you for that. And Paula, I shared that with, I think it was Troy earlier, Rex and Daryl and those folks. I mean, now you have drivers who, like, don't scare the living hell out of me. I had one guy pick me up at Walgreens. I said, I'm going a minute and a half. I looked down at my phone. He was going so fast. The next day, I said, I'm at Dollar Tree. So what, are you nuts? I mean, Kingston for a, I mean, that's how fast he was going. So, again, I don't want to hijack the meeting, so thank you for listening. I hope that I was crystal clear and precise. And again, I am available on many different levels, and again, pro bono if you need some strategy. I've created my own schedule, which I've handed out to many different seniors in many different capacities, just like I've cooked for people, handed out food from United Way during COVID. I get involved. I'm not just sitting there, you know, pointing my finger. I create winning strategies. I'm the former publisher of the Wall Street Journal. I've worked in many different capacities. I don't know the last name that got me where I got to, but I'm here now. So thank you very much.
And how are the bike trails in Saugerties?
Horrifying.
Okay.
I am scared for my life.
Okay.
Again, you know, half the time, you know, I don't want to live in fear. I lived in New York City, okay? And I was pretty comfortable there. And, you know, I think the one thing to realize is that UCAT is a lifeline. There are no taxis. I've talked to Russ at Stagecoach. They have the, you'll be a price shopper. Where are you? Oh, we got a big trip to Albany and it's $1,400. I said, you come and pick me up yourself then. Because if you don't bring me here, it's like you'll be back in 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
show up.
The drivers leave. So,
wow.
You know, you're not taxi services, but know that you are a lifeline. So thank you very much. And
can I turn it over to you?
Thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Schneider. I live in the town of Rosendale in the hamlet of Bloomington on a county road. There is no mass transit of any kind. So I represent 100,000 or more rural residents of this county, maybe 120,000 rural residents of this county at least, who if you don't live along or you don't have easy access to a major thoroughfare, you have absolutely no mass transit whatsoever. So that means my spouse and I have two cars. So that's, fortunately, you have car payments at the moment, but that can be two car payments, double the auto insurance, double the liability of everything, and we basically struggle to afford all that because it's getting worse and worse and more expensive as the time goes on, and I'm a senior now. And I'm looking to the next 30 years figuring out how I'm gonna live, and transportation is one of those things, along with housing and a whole bunch of other stuff that really comes into, you know, you're sitting there looking at the bills and going, how am I gonna do this? But we have to have, as long as my spouse works a night job, we have to have transit, there's no way. So we have to have two vehicles. And I'd love not to have one. I'd love to see, on a county road especially, county buses. And I also wanna say that, you know, we have a state. We have state transportation. We also have a lot of state roads going through our county, massive amounts of state roads. And we put most of our resources running buses up and down those roads and the federal roads too, 209, US 9W. I'd like to see the feds and the state take more responsibility for those also. I mean, this is stuff I've talked about, you know, with Phil. And we've somewhat developed this concept. up and down the thruway at every rest stop. There should be a bus stop, and the state should take that on. Also, I'm very active in the transit space. I'm a member of the Writers of Ulster Transit Alliance. I'm not speaking for them as official representative tonight, but I've done a lot of research. I also regularly attend the Ulster County Transit Council meetings. And I also attend these public works meetings. And I've looked at a lot of the budget over the last few years. There's an awful lot of asphalt. Awful lot of asphalt. And I looked at the plan of Ulster County Transit, the Ulster County Transportation Council, and going out to 2045. And they're planning just to do the same old stuff, just modifying the numbers, because things get more expensive as we go down the pike, and we have way too much asphalt already. And asphalt is insanely damaging to our air, our water, and our soil, to say nothing of the people who have to live off of that air, water, and soil. And it has to stop, and we can't go out another 20, 30 years planning to keep on doing the same exact thing in our transit plans. We have to put much more money into public transit, much more money in alternative intermodal ways of going. We should have, you know, city bike type rentals all over the place. We should have, you know, we should have a neighbor-to-neighbor program that is not just run by the Office of the Aging, but is implemented everywhere. People should be able to get reimbursed or even paid for transporting their neighbors to and from. We are not utilizing all the incredible resources that are out there that are re-envisioning transit and transportation, and I would love to see us get way more creative. Because our economy depends on it, and our people and our lives depend upon it. Thank you so much.
Come this way.
Sure.
I got you.
Thank you.
Anybody?
Hi. Hi. My name is Brittany Barnard. I am a resident of Saugerties. I live in Malden, which is a hamlet just north of the village. I don't have much to say. I'm not a writer of UCAT, but I'm interested in being one. So I work in Kingston, and the route that I, you know, there's one route, a KS line. It takes about 50 minutes. Driving takes about 20, so you can see why I don't take it, but I would love to take it to work, so an express route would be great. I support expansion, you know, better conditions for drivers, and yeah, I would love to see this be better. Okay.
Hi, my name is Kellen Gold. I live in Saugerties. I usually take the KS route several times a week. I think it would be good to see, like, especially during the rush hours, maybe like half-hourly service. Sometimes a lot of people, especially during the winter, will take the bus as a way to stay warm. So it would be nice to see, like, maybe like resources hung up in like those empty slots where they're supposed to be schedules put. The drivers have been great for me so far. I haven't lived here that long, so I don't know. It would be also good, I think, for Saturdays to have more expanded service, because I work in Saugerties now, but if I ever want to work in Kingston, I need to be able to have reliable transportation on Saturdays. So that's like definitely a factor for, like, I get paid so little, and I'm nice to have a higher paying job in Kingston. So yeah, I'm gonna pass it on. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Elise Bloomfield. I'm a resident of Saugerties too. And I'm not a regular UCAT user at all. I am really interested in learning about the issues, and very grateful that you're in Saugerties talking about them. Thank you so much. And
thank you. Hi, my name is Bill Gore. I'm a resident in the village here. I too am not a user of UCAT, but I'm very proud of it. Very proud of the progress it's made. And I applaud you for having free bus service. I'm really proud of the electric buses we have. and the, you know, the alternative fuel buses. And so I think I'm encouraged by that, and I hope the progress continues. I will say that as just a bystander and not a user, I have observed several times going down 9W to Kingston for shopping or going to the bank and seeing people in front of Walgreens waiting for the bus and returning after I'm done, and they're still standing there. And I must conclude that the schedule is either non-existent or unreliable.
Precisely.
So that's just an anecdotal thing. So, but I'm here to listen, and thank you for holding this here. I appreciate it.
Sorry I'm late. Mary McMurray. I live in the village of Socrates. I actually thought the meeting was at the county offices, so I'm back to my neighborhood. I think it's fantastic what's been happening with UCAP, with changing the dynamic. So thank you for helping make that happen. I guess I have two observations. For about 3 months last year, I didn't have a car and desperately needed to be able to use UCAT and even just to take a bus to a car rental place. And I couldn't easily find a route that would take me to a commercial center. And then the other is the route map is not, it wasn't easy for me to figure out where the stops were based on streets. So it's a pretty map, but it feels like it needs another layer of data to help make it more useful. So I don't know if you're talking about other aspects of infrastructure tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess I would say it's wonderful that you're here because there's such a need for enhancing water infrastructure in Socrates, both helping mitigate some of the ancient infrastructure that exists here, and many of our county legislators, Socrates County legislators here tonight, have had a lot to do with bringing funding to the town and village of Socrates. But I would say that there's also a need for helping the village and the town explore new sources of water. So thank you for being here.
Do you want to take a lead on do you want to take a lead on questions and answers?
Okay. I got a text message that somebody sent me questions, okay. And I told her to call the Office of the Aging. I live on West Socrates Road. I'm a 66-year-old disabled senior, unable to drive anymore. I moved here a year ago, and I depend on family to go to Price Chopper, CVS Village, or Kingston for medical appointments, which she's had a hard time navigating, as others have said. Is there transportation around Socrates for folks like me? There is that neighbor program and other things, but I told her to call Office of the Aging. But there are a lot of people that don't, that just don't know, and I think maybe to get something out like that. But,
I just want to interrupt for a moment. Neighbor to neighbor has a 14-day lead 2 days before they can cancel on.
I know.
99% of the time they do, because I used to deal with that at the mill and find people who are panicking to get to a doctor.
And that's all volunteer, right? Neighbor to neighbor?
Yeah.
So they're limited with how many people are volunteering, and maybe that's something we can put out there again and go public. Sure, Jen would be willing to do something like that and get more volunteers, because they can only do so much.
Is UCAT on Instagram? I know you're on Twitter.
Do you know what your social media,
I don't see you.
Facebook?
I don't need a communication.
I'd be happy to get involved and help you create an Instagram account. Because, you know what, I don't use Twitter for personal reasons. And I would like to see the app work a little bit better, because I am one of your customers who can use a device and see where the buses are.
So how is the app working now? I know Tony Roser's been working very closely with new IT people or and making changes. Is it updated or? Because I can't get the app on my phone.
They reverted the routes to match the app instead of fixing the app to have a more optimized route. Because that was the fix they could do in-house.
Exactly. You have schedules now.
Erin?
Yes.
Can you give the mic over to Amanda? She's.
You did. This is before you.
Will these schedules be on the bus?
Excuse me?
Will these schedules be on the bus? I was on the bus this morning. There were no schedules. I'm handing them out to people.
Hi.
And that is not my job.
I know that they
need a person with Tony today. And read it now.
I know, and then I have to read it.
Can you put that a little closer to your mouth?
Yeah.
So the conversation I had with Tony today was that she's been updating me on learning how to manage the app in-house and being able to update it, and she corrected it. And I know that she said tomorrow the last bit of the fix, the update should be live.
And so I'm under the impression it's imminent, that it's functional, more functional, more representative. Better than nothing, but leave it at that. And I thank you for it. The features on the Android version are different from the features on the iOS version. There's no trip planner on iOS. But what we did is we reverted the routes back to match the app, and we went back to all the routes. So are we, if we're going to change them now, we have 30 or 90, we have a 30-day notice that we have to do.
But I would say that there were routes that were dropped, stopped, and the app didn't reflect that. So it did go back to a lot of the changes that happened.
A lot of the changes that happened in the fall have been, they've reverted to before the change happened. So that matches the app better now, and they have updated it.
Except
however,
for the Kingston group, right?
Not accurate. So is that on the app? Not accurate. So, okay.
Give several to Susan. She gives them out.
That's
good.
But that's not to say we are going to dig what is the better version of the routing system, and then, you know, how do we push out information to a lot of different users.
You hire a communications person who's skilled in this and can do everything updated in real time across all the files.
Yes. So that's actually part of what we're going to do.
It was promised to us, actually.
Okay. Well, it's in using UCTC money, Transportation Council money, so we're about to do this study to really dig in and to have a very robust, not just information collection kind of effort, but also how do we better get information out to people, and, you know, what's the best way to reach all the different senior, you know, housing complexes, and what's really the effective way, what are the social platforms, what other ways of hard copy, how do we schedule that's more readable and usable, everything.
Well, we didn't even have this until the fall. We didn't even have a handout schedule at all.
That's correct. For over a year, there was no print schedule.
She's very soft-spoken. And the director, Roser, did say as soon as the app was finalized and the routes were set, then they were going to be mass-producing the routes to hand out and the schedules. Yeah, they weren't quite ready. And we did ask if we could have something to hand out at tonight's meeting.
This needs a consultant.
And I'd be happy to help. And since I'm printing these out for people, this takes up, I was going through 4 or 5 packages a week, which is about $200 a month for people.
Wow.
I can't do that every month.
Right.
So
there are no schedules.
Tony said that the changes are going to be made by tomorrow, and all the updates will be made live on the app by next week. So they've been working diligently on that.
Thank you. So just to clarify, Amanda, does that mean that the print schedules and the app schedules and the website schedules and any other place that the schedule shows up are all going to agree, because in my experience they have never agreed. The website, for example, still lists our schedule if for Saturday, but see the other four routes. And this print schedule is actually better right now because it has a separate breakout, Kingston and New Paltz, but I haven't found that on the app or the other. So is that, when can we expect that all to line up precisely?
I believe that I'm going to go to my notes. This is the whole
If it's all right to go through Paula, more information on the paratransit. I have friends as well who are going to need transportation back and forth. What is the process to, isn't there initial application?
So there is a process for it. There is an application that you can go on to UCAT, and on the top you'll see ADA application. You can print that out or call the office and we'll be happy to mail one out to you. You take the application, you fill out your portion. There is a portion on there that your doctor has to fill out, and then it gets sent back to us and we approve it or disapprove it. We send a letter out to you. So it is a process. It's not something that just, happens right away. But we're pretty quick at getting them approved or denied, depending on the situation. And we do look at everything, take everything into consideration and try to get as many people approved as possible that are actually needing the service, opposed to people that are just sending in the application and trying to get their ride. We have plenty of applications that have come in recently that we're addressing. So I want to say probably a couple weeks turnaround after your application gets sent in.
And could you then go out to West Saugerties Road and pick a person up to take them to the grocery store? Or is it just to doctor's appointments? Or?
So we do, paratransit is for, shopping, doctor's appointments. In rural areas, we do have a shopping bus in each area that picks up, Monday through Friday in different areas. So yes, you could get to the doctor's or grocery shop for whatever your needs are.
But yes. I believe that gentleman had a question.
Yeah. She answered that.
Oh, she answered it for you. Okay.
Can I ask a question? To clarify, Paula, so that shopping bus, it goes Monday through Friday, but not every part of the county gets service every day, right? It goes one Walk Hill one day and Plattekill
Correct.
The next day and so forth.
Correct.
Where,
yes,
what's
Mondays
the...
is Pine Hill. Tuesdays is Willow area. Wednesday, Highland. Thursday is Walk Hill on Fridays in Kingston, Saugerties.
And where are you? Where can people easily find out that information? Where is that available right now?
I can take a note and see if we can put that on our UCAT to where it's, people can see it. We do get a lot of phone calls, and we do have a lot of shoppers. Andrea used to take the bus for shopping, and so it's,
it's a lifeline and a luxury. Mm-hmm. I greatly appreciated it. I got to know the drivers, and it was an experience that you enjoyed. Mm-hmm. However, when I returned in October, it was not.
Because the bus routes have changed.
A lot have changed.
And they don't have enough drivers.
There's leadership. Where's Bill? Where's this one? Where's that one?
Yeah.
People that I knew. And, you know, I knew the former dispatcher had. And, you know, it's... You want them to know. You want them to know that you appreciate them. And I'll be the first person to get on the phone and say, the driver I had today was magnificent. And I did that this morning. Because Rex is magnificent. And I felt like you guys ought to know. And I told Troy... Well, you know, I feel like people need to be, you know, acknowledged.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to get those.
Yeah. I'm not just a, you know, chronic complainer. I'm a concerned citizen.
Chronic caller in general.
So I'm not sure if you can address this evening, but the county was had an application out for microtransit, which would have been funding to do this new thing. Can you give us an update on what the county is thinking since we didn't get funded for that?
Sure. The county worked with a company called VIA through a CERTA application process to attempt to get one of the awards for microtransit. And unfortunately, we weren't successful, but it was a good learning experience in that there was some pretty good outreach with some different, the partnering with different firms, public engagement firms that specialize in transit. And we've taken some of those lessons and kind of what we think we really needed to do as far as looking at needs and routing and folded it into this new scope of work that we're going to go out and seek a consultant to do. So it's not the full implementation of the microtransit, which would have done microtransit in Ellenville, Metropolitan Kingston area, I believe. However, it is going to use that level of sophistication of data and information to look at what those routes, how they would be more effective.
Is the county gonna get to own our own data? And that's really essential. And is that data gonna become public data? Because that's a whole huge trend in the universe to take anonymized data and put it out there so different people can write software and try to crunch it. So like people who are doing this stuff in other parts of the country have more of a data set to try to come up with better software in the public domain. It's a huge thing. And I think we should be asking that for every single project we do from now on. Who owns the data? It's really important.
So we do have standard language in the county contracts that we own all the data. The intellectual property is ours as far, and also we request that all data files that are created are provided to us in native format so that we have everything that the consultants had to do that study. And that was learned the hard way. And, you know, watching other municipalities also learn the hard way. But I'm going to note your comment about then, you know, how can that then be used for other people to do analysis?
Not just in transit. Just think of all the different stuff we have sets of data for.
Do we have any other comments or
any
recommendations?
Other questions or comments from anybody?
And just one added note about how the new consultant and study, it's explicitly going to build on the outreach that was done as part of that NYSERDA Clean Neighborhoods program, the microtransit program, because we do think we learned some good lessons there as far as outreach and to continue that. So.
Over here, Joe.
Another thing is that I think it would be good to, if the buses already don't have this, to like install air filters on the bus and to make sure that all the windows can open because it can get really stuffy. And then I'm still very COVID safe and nobody else is wearing masks, so it would be good to be able to just open a window and have some ventilation. Thank you. Because sometimes the windows don't open on the buses.
Frank, I think you expressed some of the same concerns when these buses get packed. Anybody else?
Do you want to make another comment? Legislator.
Yeah, I got a couple things.
Thanks, Joe.
So, if the administration could try and address some of what the public has brought up, I was under the impression that the O'Neill, I know this is not about Saugerties, but the O'Neill Street senior residence there was supposed to be served daily by buses, but I'm hearing it's just one day a week, Greg. Do we even know? I can't even tell what route it is on the schedule. Is it the blue or the yellow-red combination? I know that that got combined at some point, and that red has disappeared from this print schedule altogether.
We are recording this meeting so it can be played back. So, and the only way you're going to be heard is on the mic. So even though everybody can hear, we probably should stick with the mic. I'll just walk around.
I mean, Birch is in Esopus is every hour, so we're fortunate. I don't know where Birch is in Saugerties. And you also have the well.
9W and something
right,
like
right
that.
Down from the quick check, right down from the quick check in 9W. Yeah. And what Andrea was saying before is they have a beautiful
kiosk.
Well, this won't be on the thing. They have a beautiful kiosk, but it's off the road. So
it's
if you're sitting in the kiosk, the bus is going to drive by.
Right.
Oh.
So there's some you know logistical things
it's
we can do to get better as long as we.
Well, they stopped coming in. So okay, great.
Why? What did they tell you about not going around that loop? Because it seems to me you could a bus could go around that loop.
I asked the management company, and I think it has something to do with a mix of tenants don't like the bus. It's huffing and puffing around the circle. It also had to do with the fact that. The Birches just got bought by, or recently got purchased by Beacon Management.
Right.
And they're going into major renovation. The last thing they want is a bus going around their circle.
Right. Okay.
So if you take that kiosk.
So it's not a UCAT choice.
Well, it's both.
But we could get that kiosk closer to the road.
Well, I don't know. Yes, and I spoke to them about it when the new owner came in. And a lot of people, they don't want the buses in there, but at the mill they do go in. And so that's a different, larger sort of complex.
Class. Different class.
Yeah.
And that's
like
one.
Road also.
What is the Birch of the Ghetto, right?
No, they're not.
We had in our last budget cycle put in $500,000 for bus shelters. And a portion of that would go, of course, there's always a study. But if we could get, because we've talked about doing this, if we could get pictures, I have the microphone or the recorder right here.
Oh, good. Okay. So
yeah. Pictures, maybe some suggestions about, because, again, I'm from Esopus. So our bus shelters are turned, so they're not even on the road where the bus is going by. So you'd have to, I mean, there's no sense in sitting in it. And we had some of those really nice ones that were about 4.5-5 feet high that had all these obnoxious advertising, and then people were starting to put garbage in there. So those we took down, but I still see them up and down 209 and 9W.
Standing on that highway is frightening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sit there and I stand there and I do Hail Marys, and, you know.
And you're in the elements.
It is what it is, yeah. I was out with my kitten the other day, and I thought, God, like, we're going to get hit. People aren't paying attention. A lot of construction as well.
Yeah.
So, the yellow route does serve Broadway and O'Neill, so that's 5+ times a day. However, we'll have to look in if it goes back into service which complex was it again?
Birch and Saugerties.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's all the way to 9W. Phil was asking about.
There's also a place at Smith and O'Neill in Kingston. I think that's what you were talking about, Greg.
Brigham? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Broadway and O'Neill is 8 times a day or more.
But they have to go all the way up to
but
Broadway.
But that's not a. That's. Yeah.
So three blocks.
Every one of them is going to need paratransit at that point if that's what we're doing. But. Could you address Frank? You had mentioned.
Now, thank you, Joe. Frank, you mentioned that
seen much more full buses now, and like overflowing buses. What could UCAT do if that continued? What would it take to add another bus at that time or increase the frequency to alleviate that density?
And the other thing he mentioned was sometimes they can't, people with bikes. Is there a way to add more bike racks? I wouldn't know, but is that a possibility if people with bikes don't have the option because it's first come? How many bikes right now can be on a bus?
Two,
that's it.
Yeah.
So if you got more than two bike riders that want to go somewhere, they're out of luck. So I wonder if there's anything, if you can answer that too.
Maybe a bus or two or three.
You're correct. So most of our buses do have, they hold two bikes. We do have a couple out there that do hold three. In that case, what happens, we're allowed to let the bikes come on the bus. You have to secure them, obviously not in the way so people can get in and out, but we do, and at times we've had two or three inside. And that's along the side. Still, if an emergency you need to get out, it's still safe to get out. So, I mean, that's another option.
This is pretty tough to do that because when there are overwhelming numbers of people, that means carriages, wheelchairs, bikes, and like carts for groceries, luggage.
It's good to hear they're full.
The city of Kingston ones are
empty, though.
So you go down IW, and all of a sudden you've got three bikes, two wheelchairs, a couple of shopping carts, and some other stuff. People with their life savings dragging it to and from. And so it becomes not possible without blocking the side door or without taking up all the wheelchair seating areas. It becomes like physically impossible. So if it was busy like this prior, like years ago, and then it died down. I don't know if we can thank IBM for leaving, but we didn't have the density, and now it's coming back up again. I notice language barriers. I notice, for lack of better terminology, the gateway and your ARC connection, because you'll have enormous numbers of people that have to get to and from certain locations. Walmart could be busy, or the when they switch over from the KS run to the mall loop thing, which becomes a 95-minute ride from the Plaza to Saugerties. It used to be an express bus that doesn't exist anywhere, as far as I know, to be able to get to the Plaza without stopping everywhere.
That was actually many years ago. I've been with UCAT for 22 years, and I want to say probably when I first started, we did have an express. We increased our service to make more stops, to Seven Greens. We've done to make sure every part in the mall is covered, especially in the morning time before the mall loop starts. We added the mall loop to make it easier for people to get to and from. So if they want to go to Walmart to ShopRite, it was a quick ride instead of waiting for the bus to come back from Saugerties or Kingston. So we added the mall loop in there, and actually the mall loop is quite busy. And it could take a while to get back, but they always make their connections for the K and the S at Tech City.
Right. I'd like to see fewer short buses. If you're going to pay a driver, let him drive with a big bus, because technically the big buses are just as fuel efficient, almost, as a small one, depending on who's driving. And then you have more flexibility in terms of how many people and bikes. The short buses tend to be the converted dump trucks or completely overburdened school buses that are being stuck. And you have issues with the wasted time, fuel, people. It's a logistics nightmare. So some more uniformity to the size of the bus.
Yeah, I think right now we have actually an electric bus out on the mall loop right now.
Right. I'm concerned that we don't, being a farmer, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to buy some electric buses, fine. But in the world, 98% of the buses are not electric, and 82% of our electricity is not produced in any efficient way. It's by burning coal and fossil fuels. So we're putting the onus on people in rural areas next to a Colbert and Carl Wendt, and it's a form of racism, push off Ulster County's pollution on the nearest power plant area. People that live in Philadelphia or anywhere that's Detroit, they're breathing in the smog. So I want to warn against going too heavily into any one particular.
So I have to say that although you're right in that most of our electricity does not come from renewable sources, in this region, there has been this region and more of the country, the majority of power is produced by burning coal these days. And in this region, it is still fossil fuel sources and mainly natural gas, especially as we power down Indian Point, and several large natural gas power plants have had fired up.
Right, so I'm nervous that people are getting fed the line of bull or malarkey and the electric is somehow better, when in reality is it's the same or worse in many instances.
I have to say that having done some work with the emissions calculations where you look at exactly what you're saying, if you don't just do, it's not a freebie and it's green just because it's electric in the battery for the bus, but you look at the grid and the emissions for producing that electricity that we consume here in this part of New York. And when you do that comparison and that analysis, it does come out that even considering the fossil fuels that might have been used for the generation of electricity, it's very much cleaner. Order of magnitude, but I can only check that.
Right.
Because we do, the county does a report every year where we do exactly that. We look at all the electricity, the miles the vehicles have gone, the emissions factors, so that we can do exactly that, is to compare it to the grid emissions versus what our diesel buses, we know that they consume and they emit.
Right. But the missing part of the equation is the batteries and the cost involved in the electric bus. You'll never see back the difference over biofuel or hydrogen fuel or something that is cleaner than electricity, and the storage and transportation of the electricity as it is generated and dissipated is lost forever in a way they call entropy. So if you study it at the highest level, you find that even wind and solar power are completely unsustainable because such high degrees of environmental degradation that you could never live it down. It's kind of like Three Mile Island, only worse, because we're talking about spreading it out all over the planet intentionally, knowing that it's tantamount to Americans burning 40% of the corn crop to produce ethanol that is less energy than just leaving diesel fuel or methane or other existing fuels that we're going to waste. Give an example, Henry Ford.
Well, Frank, let's just, I'm not saying you're wrong either.
Right,
let's
just want to make sure we look at it intensely.
And I think,
And think about it differently. Henry Ford invented gas engines because prior to gas engines, they were burning gas as a waste product. They would just explode it and get rid of it. So if we don't burn the gas, it will be wasted. That energy will be squandered, and God forbid, they just start dumping it. We've had that in Ulster County.
I think we should stay on course
here. Yeah, get it back. Right. But did anybody else have anything else? And I would just like to say, and I'm not scared of being critical, but this is a new feel for the county. I'm 3 years in, and I've never had such a positive back and forth with the executive branch of government, the legislature, the community, and the logistics. We're talking about 200,000 people and other people living here, trying to get them from point A to point B with all these different routes, trying to communicate with a million different languages. It's not easy, the logistics that they're dealing with, but for the first time, I think Amanda gets a lot of credit, both of you guys, for coming here, listening to the good and the bad, never being defensive, basically being appreciative, plugging in what you're saying to make this better, That's how things are supposed to work, and it doesn't happen enough, and I think we need to do a lot more of this, and I really appreciate you guys coming and and being so willing to hear the community out.
Very good.
And I want to thank you guys for being willing to do the... I want to thank this committee for being willing to do the extra work and heavy lifts, everybody, to do this and make this commitment, because this is kind of how government should work, I think. Getting out to the people and talking to people and meeting them where they are and hearing their stories. So this is wonderful. I want to thank you all. And I look forward to many more of these.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments or concerns?
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, thank you all for coming down tonight. And I just kind of want to reiterate what a lot of the comments that were said about, you know, we're trying to move towards, obviously, a greener economy and getting away from fossil fuels and you know, people having to take their cars everywhere to get to work and to go shopping. So I want to say I'm very thankful for Phil taking the leadership on getting rid of the UCAT fares to make it more feasible and available for people to take the bus. I want to be able to see us, you know, really incentivize people to be getting on the bus, to be trying to reduce the amount of cars that are on the road, to reduce our carbon footprint here. So we want to be seeing more buses. You know, I want to be able to make, you know, UCAT really thrive, to be getting more people, having the ability to commute to work on the bus, get out of their cars. I would also, you know, we're talking about only being able to fit two or three bicycles on a bus. You know, I'm hoping in the future that we're going to be able to rectify that and really change to be allowed to, you know, have equipment that's going to be allowed to take a lot more bicycles onto the buses, because I want to see, and I know that we mentioned this when we talked about in the past, you know, when we've put the money into the rail trail system in this county, I want to see dedicated buses going from low-income areas of our county that have otherwise not been able to access our trail system, to be able to get on a bus with a bicycle to the rail trail, ride on the rail trail in a loop, be able to get back and get back on the bus to where they live. So that's what I want to be able to see, and I don't think two or three bikes is going to be able to, you know, handle that, what I'm looking, you know, to hopefully do in the future. So I would like to see that happen in the future, about trying to connect UCAT with the rail trail system, so that, you know, people who have been coming from disadvantaged communities who haven't been able to take advantage of the rail trail system to be able to do so. So I appreciate all the comments that have been, you know, brought forward to us tonight, and we look forward to doing what we can to make this UCAT system a shining beacon for the rest of the Hudson Valley and New York State to be able to, you know, see as an example to replicate. So thank you.
Excellent. Closing remarks, sir?
No, I'm good.
Closing remarks.
Yeah. Thanks for your kind words, Aaron. I'm sure you all some of you all know each other already, but I want to encourage you all to get to know each other. And I know some of your experienced transit riders, transit advocates, and probably you all on the outside can do every bit as much, if not more, than we can even do on the inside. That said, just briefly want to tell you a couple other things that have been happening on the inside in case you haven't been following this committee. We've been talking about some of the other issues you brought up around, like safety crossing the road, what does it mean to be a vulnerable person on the road? Like, if you're not in your own car driving, like if you're walking, you're bicycling, you're in a wheelchair, you have kids, you're taking buses, and you're not protected. So we're looking at how can the county protect you better in that situation in this committee right now. The Traffic Safety Board of Ulster County has actually asked us to do that. We have a bicycle and pedestrian policy that they've asked us to update. It was written in 2009, so it's time to do that. And we actually have, throughout the county, on the state and federal level, 5 legislators. There's 2, both state senators, 1 assembly member, and both members of Congress for Ulster County, all are on the transportation committees of their respective legislatures. which I feel like gives us a lot of power here in Ulster County, relatively anyway. And I'm, this committee and some of the public groups have been in the process of trying to set up meetings with these legislators, and I hope that you all will keep in touch with us so that we can tell you when those are and you can be a part of them.
Yeah, I would just say that I've been at a lot of wonderful meetings in Saugerties on a lot of different topics, a lot of different roles over the years, and so I'm really appreciative of this community, and I'm glad to see this kind of turn out tonight for this topic, and really appreciate your kicking off our outreach and showing us how valuable it is. So thanks for having us here.
Thank you. So with that, I guess we'll call the meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dean.
You're welcome. You could just leave that in there for tonight.
That's a comment that I could get. Two people, they bring up...